Well, I guess in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to let the kids go so the moms don't have to sit in church. I thought about keeping them. Then I'd have a bunch of angry mothers. Hey, it's good to be here with you, and I'm excited to be up here today. It's Les and Matt and I talked before church, and Jesse was back there, and it's a non-standing joke that it's a holiday I'm preaching. Okay, it's weird. It's weird how it works out. But you realize that we've had two missionaries, and last week Doug spoke in order for this to be my Sunday. God just must have a sense of humor, is all I can say. But then I thought, Mother's Day, that's pretty cool. Because I've been blessed in my life to have a group of women. I knew my great-grandmother, Goldie Jackson. I remember it, sitting in her house on a Sunday or a holiday. We used to go to her house for holidays, and that was cool. I knew Chris's great-grandmother. Is that right? Yeah. She lived to be like 102. And when she was 95 years old, she was still planting a garden. So I learned a lot from her. I did not know my dad's mom. She passed when Dad was in high school. I did not know Chris's dad's mom, Dorothy. She passed away before Chris and I started dating. But I knew my grandmother, Louise, who was a godsend. I do not know a day where she was mad. And my brother and I used to do some really, really stupid stuff at their house. Grandma would never get mad. And I knew Grandma Welma. She was my card partner, right? And everybody hated us because we won all the time. I don't know that we were ever beaten. And that's pretty cool. And then, when I met Chris, I met Janet. And again, Janet portrays the same qualities that the rest of those women before, and is a good mother, and showed Chris how to be a good mother, and all that. And then, my mom, who, and it's funny they're both here today. Well, I invited them both. And it's cool because my mom portrayed all those traits, and my mom loved us beyond measure. We knew that, but we also had a rule base that we knew we had to follow, and that's pretty cool because that's made me who I am. And then Chris, obviously the mother of my three daughters, her three daughters. Man, she puts up with a lot. She's not my mother, so I'm not honoring her today. That's a girl's job. But I'll tell you what she has done, is she's taken all that mix of everybody, because she knew everybody except for my great-grandmother. And she's taken that blend of all those godly women, and she's molded the three girls into young, godly women that someday will be godly mothers. That's our job. That's our job. So to all of my moms and all of my grandmas and wife, and man, I love you guys beyond all measure. We're going to get into one today. Read better that way. Many of you know that I have a favorite story in the Bible. You might guess what it is, other than the birth and the crucifixion and that. I'm talking Old Testament. Anybody want to guess? Shall we? Man, Moses, when he brought the Israelites out of exile, that is the coolest story for me, because I can learn so much. And I am those Israelites that bickered, and, you know, he saved me from 400 years of slavery, and I was griping because I was thirsty. That's me. That's me. So today, the title of the message is What It Takes to Be a Mother. And the very first thing I'll start with is a mother's purpose, ultimate purpose, is to instill in her children a love for God. Period. Period. The passage we're going to use, one of the passages, is going to be Exodus 2. That's going to be the main passage here. But we're going to take you a couple other places as well. I want to pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and I just ask you to take me out of the equation, Lord, and just shut me down and use me as your mouthpiece. And just, you've prepared this message, you've prepared this, my heart for this message, and you've prepared what you want me to say, Lord. Just bring that out, and just be with the congregation here that they hear what you want them to hear, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So in Exodus 2, it's the birth of Moses. And now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw a basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Now, nowhere in there is that woman named, right? She's not named. Let's go to... we can wait. We'll go there later. But I'm here to tell you what her name is, and I'll butcher it, I'm sure. But it's Jochebed. Jochebed. Okay? What I will tell you about her is she's not mentioned by name very many times throughout the Bible. She is mentioned a couple times. The nation of Israel, we know, had been in bondage for 400 years. Okay? They were slaves. Have you ever thought about being a slave? And as moms, as dads, but more importantly as moms, have we ever heard our mom say, "I am not your slave"? I know at my house we've heard that a couple times. Okay? But what I want you to know is this woman, let's go to Hebrews 11:23. Hold your hand in Exodus, because we'll be back there. Should have marked it, but I didn't. Shame on me. go to my cheater to find out what page. Huh. 1565. Didn't go far enough. It's the beauty of not having a professional pastor, too. You get to deal with ludicrousness. We're going to be chapter 11. And we're going to read verse 23. But I want to first read verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. This passage, or this verse, this whole passage is faith. It's called faith in action. This is like the faith wall of fame, okay? And it goes through and it names all these people that are on this wall of fame. And I want you to know, in verse 23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So again, she's not mentioned by name, but she's on the wall of fame for faith. That's pretty cool. Because, you know, when I coach softball, I had to have this conversation several times this year. All the kids want to get their name in the paper, right? When in essence, at the end of the day, it's going to say the Northmore Knights softball team breaks school record, and it's not going to give a name for wins. Okay? We should not care if our name is mentioned. We should be in the group that's mentioned, because at the end of the day, that's what we're after. When the heavens part and he comes back, that's the group we want to be in. He'll know your name. Don't worry about the stuff here. And then told you to hold it, and then I lost it. So we're back in Exodus 2. But the nation of Israel was in bondage for 400 years. They were slaves. We know that, right? At the time of Moses' birth, there was a decree issued by the king to kill all, he told the midwives, kill all Israelite babies. Because they were getting too powerful. Because, you know, if you're in slavery and you got nothing to do but work, and you have kids. And they want you to have kids because that's a bigger workforce, right? But then the king said, wait a minute. These guys, or the Pharaoh, he said, these guys might be getting too big. We probably can't handle them if they decide to revolt. So he wanted to control a little bit of the population. So he commanded the Hebrew midwives to murder the newborn sons of the Hebrew women as they were giving birth. But then he discovered he couldn't rely on those midwives, and they weren't doing what they were told to do. So what's he do? Tells his soldiers, or tells whoever, hey, go into the slave town and kill every Hebrew boy under whatever age. So Moses was hidden for 3 months. Now, when we're a new mother or a new father, what do? When we have a baby, man, we show it to the world, right? She was not allowed to do that because she was smart. She knew what was coming, and she knew... Uh-oh. That fade? Just me. But she knew that any Egyptian that saw that she had a baby could come and then be rewarded for taking her baby and throwing him into the Nile. Now, I want you to remember that's what they were told to do, is throw him into the Nile and watch him drown, because it's ironic. It's ironic that she threw him into the river to watch him prosper. But she did it with caution. So can you imagine living with that kind of fear? When I think of the time that Jochebed was called to be a mother, I think of some mothers today. There are mothers in Africa who face the real prospect of having their son taken from their arms to be trained as children soldiers. These are challenging times to be a mother in the world. Even though no one threatens babies here in America, mothers are still faced with that uncertainty. Because it's a scary time to raise kids. Kids today are dealing with so much more than I ever dealt with. When I was in school, a drug was a cigarette. Now these kids are in third, fourth grade. They know where to get stuff. That's crazy. It's crazy. Jochebed stands out because of what she did to save her child. Then when she could do no more, she depended totally on the faithfulness of God. She was a model of faith. My point number one about Jochebed was she was a finely drawn portrait of a mother with faith. Point number two, Jochebed had a courageous faith. So the writer of Hebrews writes, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. Though the king said that all Hebrew babies had to be thrown in Nile, Jochebed and her husband disobeyed the king." Now, we have rules, right, today. We have rules. And there are some rules that we do not like, right? But I'm going to tell you, if President of the United States said, "Hey, we're going to go into these homes of Christians and we're going to kill all the firstborn sons," I'm probably going to hide my son, and they're probably not going to want to come in my house when they do. You don't mess with, and dads are, you don't mess with their kids. Moms are worse. Listen, my wife doesn't get too worked up. I can't tell you the two or three times somebody messed with the girls, man. That gets mama fired up, right? Because that's our protective instinct. And Jochebed had that, and she just acted on it. And then she trusted God. Now that takes faith. That takes faith. Here's what I want you to do. When she put Moses into the Nile, she didn't just throw him into the Nile. You ever think about what's in the Nile? What's in there? Crocodiles, snakes, probably, I don't know. I mean, I've never been to the Nile. I didn't research it a ton, but there's probably other stuff in there. Not to mention the parasites that had to be back then. They didn't have a pump system filtering out that stuff. People went to the river to bathe. Okay, so it's nasty. She put him in a basket And the word that is used for basket in the scriptures is the same word that was used when Noah built the ark. So she put Moses in the ark, covered it in pitch so that he would float, and didn't throw him out into the middle of the Nile River where the crocodiles and everything else. She put him in among the reeds where she knew somebody would find him. And then she was smart enough, she couldn't go herself and watch the baby, right? So she sent Moses' sister, who I don't know the age of her, but she wasn't of childbearing age, because that would have been obvious. So that the planning that God and Jochebed had, and she followed that plan to a T, was amazing. We often think of faith as being a passive faith, right? When people think of Christians, they don't think of us being courageous. We don't have to be here in the United States, right? We go share our faith, and we can go to youth groups, and we can go to all this stuff. Is the militia going to come and gun us down while we're having a Bible study? Not yet. So faith is courageous. No matter what it is you do, if you're doing it in faith, it's courageous, because not everybody can do it. But back then, faith was very courageous. We see moms today that take a stand with their son or daughter and say no, even when everybody else is saying yes. It takes faith. That takes courage. Because that's not easy to do. So what gives these mothers the courage to act in those ways? Jochebed and mothers today, what gives them the courage? Because they fear God more than they fear man. And they love God, and they want to please God more than they want to please their friends, family, or children. So women, your job is vitally important, and you got to have faith to say no. You got to have faith to do what God wants you to do. Because not everybody does it. It takes faith. And faith is courageous. Jochebed had a sensible faith. First of all, anybody who's had a 3-month-old baby, or 0 to 3-month-old, how do you hide a 0 to 3-month-old baby? Don't they cry? You know, don't you have an absorbent amount of laundry with a 3-month-old baby? So, she was able to do that. That's, again, impressive. When she made the basket, she covered it with tar and pitch to make it float. I got ahead of myself talking about the basket and the ark, but we've already been there. Part of being sensible and having sensible faith is knowing how to improvise. Okay? That, you know, that plan to hide the baby was fine until it wasn't. So then, because Moses would have been one of the only... Well, I mean, let's take until he's 5 years old. He would have been the only 5-year-old boy, and it kind of been like, wow, what's going on there? How'd that happen? Right? So she knew that she couldn't hide him forever. She knew that. So she followed the plan, put him in the Nile, and then she just had the plan all laid out with the sister all the way down to, can I go find the nursemaid? Now, I think she was lucky that Pharaoh's daughter was the one that was bathing that day. Because I think if it had been one of the Pharaoh's servants or Pharaoh's, I don't know, harem, whatever, it may have been a different story. But when it was his sister, and his sister came back and said, oh, look what I found in Nile, I'm going to keep the baby. Is Pharaoh going to say no to his sister? Probably not. Probably not. So she was sensible, she was smart. Jochebed was courageous, sensible faith was rewarded. How was it rewarded? Well, it was rewarded because Moses was now, after she got done, she was able to bond with him and nurse him till whatever age that would be. And then she was able to send Moses to the palace to live with Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? Long story short, because of her faith, her child lived a better life, lived a life. And then we all know what happened. The sister adopted her, basically, yeah, adopted. Moses raised him as her own son. And then he was getting powerful with Pharaoh, right? And then he killed a slave driver because he was beating an Israelite one day. So they sent him away. And when he came back, he had experienced God. And he knew what he was doing. He didn't like it. He didn't like it. Remember Moses fought God on that. He said, no, not me, God. Not me. I stutter, I stammer, I can't do it. So when Moses comes back to deliver the Israelites, when he goes and meets before Pharaoh, it doesn't say Jochebed was there. Moms know. And I often wonder if there was a reunion during the deliverance when he was bringing them out. I don't think it's quoted anywhere. I've read that story 1,000 times, but I could have missed it. But how sweet would that reunion have been? And how much reward would she then see in the young man he had become and the leader that he had become because of her faith? So even though you might not get that reward, moms, right away, don't sell what you're doing with your kids short. You know, two of mine have their own house, and when I go to their houses, it's not like their bedrooms were. It's fairly cleaned up. It's fairly put away. I mean, I searched the couch cushions at Shelby's house because I was afraid there was little Debbie wrappers down in there. Or half-eaten boxes of little Debbies. No lie, we found that in her bedroom one time. But because, it's not because anything I did, because Chris continued to live in faith that she could eventually get through to these three, they're able to run a household. Morgan's still a work in progress. She's getting there. Morgan's my cook of the bunch. She'll do fine. But, you know, and my mom was the same way. I bet she thought, man, this guy's an idiot. And I'm still an idiot. We know that. I'm a simpleton. I'm a simpleton that's doing what God wants me to do, and that's pretty cool. But, you know, you worry about your kids. Moms, you do it more than any. Because why? Dads are guys. Man, my kids had a fight or got in trouble at school. I was like, well, you probably deserved it. And they've never gotten a fight, but, I mean, you protect them, right? You protect them. Moms do it times 10. That's why I'm not a mom, thank goodness. You know, it's funny that God made the man and the woman, and I mean, for whatever reason, I'm a guy, right? There's no rhyme to it. I can tell you why, because God knew I cannot, when he built me, he knew there's no way he can handle what women handle. No way. I mean, you talk about an unorganized household. It's funny how when we go to find our mates, we find who God wants us to find. Because, man, I'm a hot mess if Chris isn't there keeping me straight. Because all I want to do is mow the yard and work in the barn. Right? Then Chris enlightens me that, hey, we got these 1,000 other things we got to do. Well, I like my mower. So, if you have a mother or a woman who fills that void or fits that bill for you, and there's more than one for a lot of us, right? Man, reach out to them today. If you're not spending time with them today, make sure you at least reach out to them today. Because moms are underappreciated. And as we see with Jochebed, man, we shouldn't be. Because there's no mention of the dad, of Moses' dad anywhere. Right, probably because he was out in the straw pits working. And the moms, I mean, I know they were working too, but I don't know how she had time to raise that baby for 3 months. So her faith was incredible. So moms, do not give up the faith. Do not give up that there is a greater plan. The kids will eventually listen to what you're trying to say. Raise them up godly, and everything else falls into place. They are getting their example from you. And that's humbling when you think about it. I'm going to end with a little story here. And someone turned to a full-time mom and said, "And what is it that you do, my dear?" She responding, "I am socializing 2 homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order, the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." She then added, "And what do you do?" So again, mothers, your ultimate goal is to foster that Christian love and that God-like love and that God-like relationship into your kids. And that's not just for mothers. I mean, I know this is Mother's Day, so I said mothers. Guys, that's our job too. That's our job too. We have to model that behavior. We have to model that relationship. We have to model the way things happen when adversity strikes. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, you never know what kind of team you got until adversity hits. And I think, you know, God as our coach is sitting up there and saying, okay, adversity's hitting. What are you doing? What are you doing? And sometimes it's easy to, I blame Chris, Yeah, I blame the girls. Sometimes it's easy, right? We have to accept responsibility and grow our faith so that when times get tough, we can be like Jochebed. We can show the world. We can come to... Alan, can you pull up... the Numbers 26:59. So the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. That is the one time that I know Jochebed was listed by name. She didn't care if her name was in the paper. She lived her life by faith. And she demonstrated that faith in what she did to bring Moses to where he needed to be so that he could lead the Israelites out of bondage. Now, did she know all that was going to happen? I don't know. But here's what she knew. She knew when he was born, he was unique. And he was going to serve a greater purpose. And she did whatever she had to do and whatever God told her to do to get that greater purpose established. Moms, that's what you guys do every single day. Take today, celebrate your mothers, celebrate the women in your lives. Man, they're important. Because without the women in my life, I'm telling you, I would not be here today, let alone be up here today. You know, moms, stick with it. Make those kids come to church. Make those kids get active in youth group. Even though it's a fight, even though it's a struggle, even though it's going against the grain, stick to your faith. If that's what God's laid on you, then stick to it. And I'm terrible, but Shelby, Lindsay, Morgan, come here, please. So every woman that's here today is going to get, because I know the way to, well, these three anyway. Well, yeah, two. Lindsay doesn't drink coffee. Is coffee or donuts? So you're each getting a $5 Dunkin' gift card. It might buy half a coffee. It'll probably buy you a donut, though. Enjoy that. On behalf of the church here, we appreciate you moms. Because if it was up to us men, the world would be in trouble. You guys are the glue that keep us together. You guys are the glue that are building tomorrow's generation. And we appreciate you. And this doesn't even come close to showing you how much we appreciate you. Did everybody get one? How many more we need? Okay. Take your moms away. Oh, okay. I'll have to get IOUs. I got two left. Big crowd. Nice. We're going to close in prayer. And then we're going to have a hymn of invitation or a song of invitation. Les and Jesse and I will be here. You know, this invitation is for everybody. It's not just for moms. If you have needs, prayer needs, if you have health concerns, if you have whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Come bring them before God. And if you don't feel comfortable bringing them before God, get a hold of one of us after the service. You know, it doesn't, your name doesn't have to be in the paper, but let somebody know that, so we can pray to help you. And we can help you through some stuff. There's a lot going on, people. Yep. Amen. So, while that's a time of grief, that's a praise. Because God showed up. Mm-hmm. So God shows up. He shows up every time. He shows up every time. You know, thank you for those of you that prayed for this. I've had this stuff for about 3 weeks. And it's just been miserable. I was thinking I was going to preach on leprosy today because that's what I thought I had. I'm telling you, doctors couldn't find any. I mean, he was stumped. He put me on steroids and it got worse. So, anyway, finally found some medication that's working. I feel a lot better. Thank you for that. Prayer works. Prayer works, and God will show up, just like moms. Moms show up every time. God will show up every time. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just all the mothers out there, and just the example they provided for our young people, and the example they've provided for us through the years, and just the love they've shown, and the how grateful we are for that, Lord, because they have molded us into the people we are today. Lord, we just love them. We thank you for them. And Lord, as we close up, if there's any needs at all, just bring them present, Lord. And just, we know that you're going to show up, and we know that you're going to handle them. In your name we pray. Amen.